Okay. We are holding by Alanism. So the first shiur was on the words Alanism. The second shiur was on the words of Alapurkan. And now we'll go on to the words of Alagvurois. The difference between these two words, Alagvurois, than the previous shiur, and we understand why we are thanking Hashem for the miracles, Alanism, and we understand why we're thanking Hashem for the salvation, which is Alapurkan. But Alagvurois, Gvurois is, although it's probably ordinarily interpreted as Alagvurois for all of the strengths, but Gvurois has a negative understanding as well. The Gvurois are the words that is the term that is used for dinim. Right? Dinim is strict justice. That we all know from anybody who has learned any of the Sifrei Chassidus, Sifrei Kabbalah, knows that that dinim come from the midah of gevura. And dinim are called, din comes from gevura, dinim are gevurois. Gevurois means strict justice, might, strictness, discipline. That's where gevurois comes from. So, why would we be thanking Hashem for the gevurois? So, the simple understanding is that what seems to us to be, what appears to be gevurois to us, we believe Amuna Shalema is really chasadim. What seemed to be strict justice, what seemed to be what looks to us to be bad, we believe Amuna Shalema that Kol Ma'ada Ovad Rachman Ala Tav Ovad, whatever Hashem does is for the good. So even when gevurois come upon us, we have to thank Hashem for that as well, because that is also chesed. Our declaration of Amunah that we say at least twice a day, Shema Yisrael, Havaya Lekeinu, Havaya Echad, is, the Svarim HaKadoshim say, means, Yudke Vavke is Hashem's name, the name that represents His Midas HaChesed, Lekeinu represents His Midas HaDin, and our declaration is that it's Havaya Echad, that it's all, whether it's Havaya, Lekeinu, whether it seems to be Chesed or it seems to be Din, it's all, we know it's all Chesed. Whatever Hashem does, Kol Ma'ada Ovad Rachman Ala Tav Ovad, whatever Hashem does is good. And I believe that this is what Chazal are telling us, that on Purim there's a Chiyuv Chayiv Inish, the Vesuma Bepuria, Ad Lo Yoda Bein Or Rahman Baruch Mordechai. A person has to become elevated on Purim to a state of elevation, that the person should not know the difference between the Baruch Mordechai times and the Or Haman times. The times in our lives that were blessing Hashem, Baruch Mordechai, that were for the good times, the Baruch Mordechai times. Then there's the Or Haman times, the times of our lives that we would ordinarily curse. On Purim, we need to come to a level that we understand that the Or Haman times are just as good as the Baruch Mordechai times, whether we realize it or not. It's, we believe Emunah Shalema, Kol Ma'ada Ovad Rachman Ala Tav Ovad. And that's what Chazal says. It's a mission in Masechet Brachos. Chayv Adam Levarach Al Harag, Shem Shem Varach Al Tov. A person is obligated, says the Mishnah, to bless Hashem for the bad the same way he blesses Hashem for the good. And Rashi says with the same amount of simcha. It's a tremendous level. It's not a level that we might have all year round. But on Purim, We have to come to that level. And it's, the story of Purim is all about the so-called bad times that we're able to realize that they were all for the good. You have the when Esther was taken to the king's palace to become the new queen. I mean, Esther must have seen that as the worst thing that could possibly be, and it ended up being the salvation for Klal Yisrael. When Esther, the Sfarim say that when Esther invited Haman to the Mishteh Hayayin, when she invited him to the feast, just like Ahasuerus and Haman, Klal Yisrael gave up. If Esther, the one we were relying on, has become so corrupt that she's inviting just Haman and Ahasuerus, we're lost. That was the salvation. So all these things that we look at that seem to be mamish, the worst thing possible, turn out to be that they were mamish l'tovah. They were mamish for our good. So Purim is the time that a person needs to come to the level to realize that Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai are the same. It's all for the good. And it's not just, it's all year round. It might be easy to talk about it and to say it, but on Purim we got to feel it. Purim we have to experience it. We have to really be there. They say that one of the Gedolei Yisrael, I'm not going to mention his name because it might not be b'chavadik. The story might not be so b'chavadik to him, but one of the Gedolei Yisrael, mamish, the Gedolei Yisrael, was a very, very, he was a very wealthy man as well. He's written many Sfarim that are learned in all of Klal Yisrael. He's a very wealthy person. And he had a lot of business abroad, and he had a shipment of merchandise that was being shipped to him. An unbelievable amount of merchandise. And the Talmidim were notified that the ship sunk. And all of his merchandise was lost. It was a tremendous loss to him. And they didn't know how to break it to their Rebbe. So finally one Talmud volunteered to be the one to, somebody had to tell him. He'd be the one to tell him. So he went over to him and he said, Rebbe, can the Rebbe please tell me Pshatim? What does it mean that you have to bless Hashem for the bad the same way you bless Hashem for the good? So the Rebbe said, I'm not sure what's so difficult to understand. Chazal tell us that we're obligated, we believe emunah shleimah that kol ma'adav d'rachman l'tavavad, whatever Hashem does is for the good. And if something bad happens, we have to believe emunah shleimah that this is the ultimate good for us. And he says, the Rebbe really believes that? Absolutely. And Rashi says with the same amount of simcha. And the Rebbe believes that a human being can do that? He said, if Chazal tell us that we're obligated to do so, then obviously a human being can do it. So if I would tell the Rebbe, for example, that the ship that's about to arrive with all that merchandise sunk, the Rebbe would say, Baruch Hashem, the same way the Rebbe would for a good tiding? He said, I sure hope so. Well, guess what? Your ship sunk. And the Rebbe fainted when he told him what happened. It's very easy to talk about it, but to be there is a tremendous level. So even though we do talk about it all year round, on Purim, we have to get to a level that we're not just talking about it. We actually don't know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. I heard of Mordechai's story. Huh?
I guess he was the
There's a recent story. The next to Montreal, there's a little town called Tosh. Tosh Rebbe lived there. Very, very holy man. I was lucky to be by him twice. Very holy man. It was Nifter a year or two ago. So, obviously, there were many people that used to come to the Tosh Rebbe for with their tzores and with their... And he was a tremendous Baal Moifis. Many of his brachas, many of his brachas were fulfilled. He also was a tremendous Baal Tzedakah. People would come to him and give him large amounts of money, and he would distribute the money to the poor. So there was one yid that was a very lo yitzlach, a person that mamish, whatever he tried, failed. And he had tremendous difficulty with parnasa. And one of the things that he struggled with most is that the gvirim get all the attention. That the people with the money are always the ones that get the covet, and the ones that get the aliyahs, and they're the ones that the rich people get all the attention, and him and many others that don't have the money are barely looked at. So someone advised him to, he was having a tremendous difficulty with parnasa. Somebody advised him he should go to the Tosh Rebbe, get a bracha. Now the Tosh Rebbe opened at a certain, his doors opened at a certain hour, and he made, this person knew that there would be throngs of people coming. Every single day there were throngs of people used to come. So he was there 2 hours early, and he was the first one at the door. So after him, more people started coming, and there were a lot of people. At the time the Rebbe opened the door, the room was jam-packed. So when the Rebbe finally opened the door, the Rebbe scanned the line, and instead of taking in this person who had been waiting for 2 hours, this person that was sotze brochen. So the person was so, he had this complex of always being looked over, and the gevirim were getting all the attention. So the Rebbe looked past him, and there was a very wealthy person in the line, and the Rebbe motioned to the wealthy person to come. And this guy was shattered. He was almost shattered. The last place in the world where he thought there was still a little bit of emes left. And the Rebbe took in the wealthy person before him. Anyway, he waited till this wealthy person came out. And as soon as he walked into the Rebbe, he couldn't contain himself any longer. He blurted out, "I thought that there was a little bit of emes left in the world, and it would be here. And I was waiting here for, I've been waiting here for 2 hours. That gevir just arrived a few minutes ago, and the Rebbe had to take him in before I came in." The Rebbe was a very, very loving person. He said, "Rebbe, please take a seat. Take it easy. Relax a little bit. Let's talk." Anyway, the Rebbe listened to him, listened to his plight. The Rebbe said to him, now listen to me a little bit. He said, "As soon as I opened the door, I looked at you, and I realized that you're going to need a large sum of money. I had no money at the time. So I looked for a wealthy person. They should come in before you. I knew that person would give me a lot of money, so I'd have what to give you." So, and he handed him a very, very nice sum of money. Things that appear to us to be wrong, things that appear to us to be bad, that itself is the Yeshua. That itself was the salvation. So we don't only thank Hashem for the Nisim and the Purkan. We thank Hashem for the Gevuras also. We thank Hashem for the Dina because we know that what appears to us to be Gevuras is really Chasadim. The Bnei Yisachar says that the Gevuras in Kabbalah are represented by the five end letters. There's five end letters in the Aleph Beis: Mem, Nun, Tzadik, Pei, and Chof. Right? Those are the five letters that have, besides the regular letters, they have an end letter. Chof Safis and a Mem Safis and a Nun Safis. Mem, Nun, Tzadik, Pei, Chof. Those represent Gevuras. Why? Because the nature of Chesed is to expand. That's what Chesed expands. Gevuras are boundaries, right? Gevuras, dinim, are limitations. Discipline, that's what discipline is, limitations. So the end letters end the word. That's what they're made for. They're made to put an end to a word. So they represent limitations. If you add up the gematria of Mem, Nun, Tzadik, Pei, and Chaf, Mem is 40, Nun is 50, that's 90. Tzadik is another 90, that's 180. Pei is 80, that's 260. And Chaf is 20, that's 280. So that's Pei Resh, or Resh Pei. Resh Pei is 280. The Bnei Yisachar says that it says in the Megillah that the Yontif is called Purim. Why Al Shem HaPur? Because of the poor. Because of the lot. Why would we call a Yontif? Call a Yontif a name based on the lot that Haman made. That wasn't the salvation. That was the Torah. Haman made a lot to kill all the Jews on Yud Gimel Adar. That's what we're calling a Yontif Purim. So he says that the Resh Pei represents Dinim, and the Vav of Pur represents, the Vav in Kabbalah represents Hamshacha. It means to draw down. Even the Tzura of the Vav is a long line, which means to draw down. The Vav represents to draw down Chasadim. The Vav interrupting between the Pei and the Resh represents the chasadim that were drawn to sweeten the dinim. So all the gevuras of the whole story of Purim were transformed into chasadim. That's why the Yontif is called Purim. Because the Vav, we were mamshich chasadim, or Mordechai was mamshich chasadim, to be mamtik, to sweeten the peyresh dinim. And that is how we were zoicha to a neis. So all those dinim were nishapach, v'na hapachu. They were all transformed into chasadim. So we call the Yontif Purim. Another reason why we thank Hashem for the gevurais is because it was the gevurais that caused us all to do tshuva. It was the gezerah of Haman that brought us back to the Rabbi Nishleidam, and we did tshuva. As the Gemara says that when Hashem sees that we don't do tshuva, as Mamad Aleim Melech Kasha Kehaman, Hashem appoints upon Klal Yisrael a king as difficult as Haman, and Umarzir on the Mutav, and it causes Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva. And once again, perhaps that's what Chai Vinish the Vesuma of Bepuria means. A person has to come to a level on Purim, meaning that on Purim we have to do tshuva, and we should come to a level that we don't care how we got there. We don't care whether what got us to do tshuva, what got us to come close to the Rabbi Nishlam was Baruch Mordechai because Hashem gave us an abundance of chesed, or was because of Or Haman, or because Hashem appointed a king as terrible as Haman, or he gave us Tzoros Chas V'Shalom, Ramiros, the Tshuva. At the end of the day, we're close to the Ribono Shel Olam. Doesn't really matter how we got there. It doesn't matter whether it came through Aram or Baruch Mordechai. We are happy and we're sameach with the closeness to the Ribono Shel Olam. Another understanding of Al HaGevurais, the Bnei Yisrael says, it's Bnei Yisrael elsewhere. How are we zeicha to bring dinim, to bring punishment upon the enemies of Klal Yisrael? For us to do mitzvahs, or to learn Torah, or to daven, that all brings chasadim to the world. All that does is bring kindness to the world. So that can't bring punishment upon anybody. All chasadim is chesed. It's kindness. To do averis, it's only going to bring bad things upon ourselves. It's not going to bring punishment to anyone else. So how does anybody bring about punishment upon anyone else? Upon the enemies of Klal Yisrael. And the Bnei Yisrael says that there are two ways to accomplish this. One is through an avera lishma. Through doing an avera l'shem shemayim. Now, you're not allowed to do that. There's no way a yid is allowed to do an avera l'shma unless the circumstances necessitate it, such as Esther and Achashverosh. Esther had to live together with Achashverosh as husband and wife for the sake of saving Klal Yisrael. Chazal call this case of Esther and Achashverosh Avera Lishma. She did an Avera, but it was done for the sake of a mitzvah. And Chazal say, G'doyla Avera Lishma. Avera Lishma is even greater than a mitzvah. Doing an Avera Lishem Shemayim is even greater than a mitzvah. Now, this, says Bnei Yisrael, doesn't bring chesed to the world because it's an Avera, it's not a mitzvah. What happens is it brings gevurais to the world, and those gevurais go upon the enemies of Klal Yisrael, and that's why Haman had his downfall, because of that avera lishma. That's number one approach. And that number one approach can only be orchestrated from above. Right? We can't orchestrate that ourselves. Number two approach is for a person to do tshuva me'ahava, for a person to do tshuva out of love. So, when Chazal tells us when a person does tshuva out of love, all the averas that he had done are transformed into mitzvahs. Now, what kind of mitzvahs are they transformed into? They're not transformed into actual mitzvahs because they were averas, but they're transformed into mitzvahs that can bring about paronias, that can bring about punishment upon the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Once again, when Esther said, and this is what Esther said to Mordechai, the message Esther sent to Mordechai is, we have an enemy here, we have a terrible enemy, Haman Arosha. There are two tactics that we're going to take advantage of both of them. Lech kenoizes kol ha'yehudim v'tzumo alai. Go get together all of Klal Yisrael and have them fast. They shouldn't eat or drink. Meaning they have to do tshuva, have them do tshuva me'ahava. Have them do tshuva out of love. That's one way we're going to accomplish to bring paronias upon Son of Yisrael. And secondly, uvchein avoy al ha'melech ha'shaloi chados. And secondly, I'm going to go to the king against the halacha. V'chein avay ha-melech asher loy kados. I'm going to come to the melech against the halacha. V'chashem evadati avadati. Even though it means I'm going to lose my share in this world and in the next world to come. In the world to come. Through these two tactics of tshuva me'ahava and aveira l'shma, we're going to bring gevurois to the world, but upon the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Va'ala gevurois is worth thanking the Rabbeinu Shlalom for the gevurois that he brought upon the enemies of Klal Yisrael. I was thinking that perhaps this is the, in Parshas B'Shalach, by the Melchemes Amalek, by the battle with Amalek, Hashem, it says, Mochai Emcha Zeichar Amalek. Hashem says, I will erase the memory of Amalek. In Parshas Kiseitze, Hashem says, Timcha Zeichar Amalek. Hashem says to us, you erase the memory of Amalek. So, are we supposed to erase it, or is Hashem going to erase it? According to this, that in order to eradicate Amalek, we have to do so by bringing Gevurah to the world. And there are two ways of doing so. One way is to do Aveira L'Shma. We can't do that. It has to be orchestrated from above. So Hashem says, okay, Mochai Amcha Zeichar Amalek, I will orchestrate it, then Amalek will be obliterated. I have to bring about an Aveira L'Shma. But the other case I'm telling you is Timcha Zeichar Amalek. You erase the memory of Amalek by doing Tshuva Me'ahava, and you'll bring gurus to the world. Perhaps also this is, there's a pasuk that the Gemara brings it in the case of it says in the Torah, the Gemara derives from a pasuk that we're not allowed to write down the oral Torah. Is an isser, just like you're not allowed to say the written Torah by heart. You're not allowed to write down the oral Torah. It's a prohibition. It's a biblical prohibition. Nevertheless, they came along the Chachamim and they said, we're going to write it down anyway because it's going to be forgotten otherwise. And they brought a pasuk. Eis lasos l'Hashem hefeiru torasecha. There's a time that for Hashem's sake, we have to annul the Torah. It's a pasuk. So, and this is mamash the pasuk of Aveira L'Shma. So at times we have to do an Aveira for the sake of a mitzvah, for Hashem's sake. The word ace is both tactics, is Aveira and Tshuva. There are two ways to bring about the gevuras upon this, upon Sinai Yisrael, and that is through either an Aveira or through Tshuva, through Aveira L'Shma or through Tshuva. Perhaps, according to this, we can understand there's a Chassam Sefer asks the Kasha that by the Avos, we don't find that the Avos were ever Zoicha to see the downfall of their enemies. Nimrod threw Avraham Avinu into a fiery furnace, and we don't find that Nimrod was ever punished. Avimelech, the king of Plishtim, banished Yitzchak from his land. No repercussions. Yaakov Avinu suffered from love and from Esav. Once again, they were never zeicha to see any punishment. That they didn't see their enemy suffer. Bnei Yisrael, when they came out of Mitzrayim, is by Yaakov Yisrael's Mitzrayim, Esav Svasayam. Klal Yisrael saw Mitzrayim dead on the seashore. They were zeicha to see the downfall of their enemy. Why were Bnei Yisrael zeicha to see the downfall of their enemy and not the Aveis HaKadosh? So perhaps, according to this Bnei Yisrael, we can understand that in order to bring about the downfall of the enemy, there needs to be. We're not going to do an Aveira L'Shma, right? Unless there's a necessity for it. If there was no necessity for it, you can't do it. The other choice is doing tshuva. If you don't do averis, a person who never did an aver can't do tshuva. So the others like Hakadosh that were perfect, well, at least close to it, they were never able to do tshuva me'ahava. So they were never able to bring about the downfall of their enemies. Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim in Mem Tashari Tumah. Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim in the 49th level of Tumah, and throughout this whole process of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, they did tshuva. As a result, the downfall of Mitzrayim came about. And they were able to see the downfall of their enemy. And that's maybe what Chazal are telling us. That in a place where Balei Tshuva stand, fully righteous people can't stand. Meaning, there's a level there's that Balei Tshuva can merit, and that is seeing the downfall of their enemies, that Tzadikim Gemurim just can't have it. Because since they're Tzadikim Gemurim, they just can't, there's nothing they can do tshuva for, and therefore they can't bring about the downfall of their enemies.
But wasn't there tshuva from Madrid of Brian Limits? Not from, it wasn't tshuva in Ma'aba.
Who? By the Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim?
Yeah, so it wasn't tshuva in Ma'aba.
It says talk about Yiru Amos Hashem, but I'm sure there was tremendous Ahava at that point.
So even back then, they were
Zayf. Yeah, I'm sure there was Tshuva Me'ahava then as well. You see such a tremendous Nisim. So that is, once again, why we say Allah Gevurois. We're thanking Hashem for the Gevurois that were brought about through our tshuva and through the Aveir Lishma upon the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Another thought on Allah Gevurois can be understood by this Gemara. The Gemara says that by Kriyas Yamsuf, Bikshe Malachi Hasharas Lema Shira Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The angels wanted to sing Shira to Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Masa Yoda Etev Bayam Atamem Rav Shira, my handiwork is drowning in the sea, and you want to sing Shira? And the obvious question is, well, if the Malachim weren't able to sing Shira because Hashem's handiwork is drowning in the sea, so why were Bnei Yisrael allowed to sing Shira? And besides that, there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Ba'avoid Rishoyim Rina. When the Rishoyim are destroyed, it's a time for rejoicing. It's a time for rejoicing. So, what's wrong with singing Shira? Masa Yodai Tevim Bayam. Yes, it's your handiwork, but they're wicked handiwork. So, let them sing. Let them sing Shira. So, I was thinking that the truth is that the whole purpose of punishment, b'chlal, really, its main purpose is to serve as a deterrent. That people shouldn't act in a certain way, they should be afraid of punishment. But once the crime has been committed, punishment really doesn't serve any purpose. You're just going to kill the person because he killed someone? What are you going to accomplish? Now two people are dead. Okay, so it's going to serve as a deterrent for the other person, for another person. But for this person, especially if he's not, listen, if he's a threat to other people, okay, I understand why I need to kill him. But but that's not why you're killing him. You're killing him because he killed the first person. And that person's dead already. So what is the purpose of punishment? Once there is no punishment, once there is no purpose anymore, so then it's Masayoda Tev Mayam. Then Hashem's saying, correct, it's, my handiwork is drowning in the sea. But there is a purpose. The purpose is because human beings are affected by what we see. When we see crimes that go unpunished, those crimes are belittled in our eyes. And we lose sensitivity. We become desensitized to sins and crimes that go unpunished and are accepted. It's just Matthias. When sins are punished, if anybody that spoke Lashon Hara, for example, would be zapped by a bolt of lightning, people wouldn't talk Lashon Hara. Not necessarily because we're afraid of being zapped by lightning, but because we see it so terrible. If Hashem considers it so terrible that he's going to zap a person by lightning for speaking Lashon Hara, then I'm not going to talk Lashon Hara. The reason why we live in the type of world we live in is because these things become accepted. At first they went unpunished. After they went unpunished, they became accepted. And now people that condemn them are even meshuga. But it all begins when things just are allowed to go unpunished. But that's only for human beings. Human beings become desensitized when people are not punished. Angels don't become desensitized. People need to sing shir. When people see that sinners are punished, people need to sing shir. It builds our sensitivity against averis. It builds our sensitivity against crime. We need to sing shir when sinners are punished. When sinners are punished, we say, oy vey, that's terrible. We undermine the crime. But malachim? To sing shira? When angels are supposed to sing shira? When these... No. Masa yoda tov mayom. There's really no good reason to punish these people as the crime has been done already. Masa yoda tov mayom. What are you saying shira for? Angels don't have a reason to sing shira. Perhaps this is the reason why Shaul HaMelech didn't kill Agag. He didn't want to kill Agag or whatever the Meitav Atzoyin, Meitav HaBakar. Chazal tell us that Shaul HaMelech was as he had never sinned in his life. He was a malach. Shaul HaMelech saw no purpose in punishing Amalek. But the Rebbeinu Shlom tells us, Timche Zeicher Amalek, Metachas Hashemayim, you need to eradicate Amalek. Amalek are sinners, Amalek are bad people. And in order for you, for your sensitivity to maintain intact, you need to kill them. You need to erase them. And that's I mean, we have to come to a level on Purim, a level of sensitivity to the Torah Kedosha that our salvation, the simcha of our salvation, should be equal to our simcha of seeing our enemies being punished. The Arham and the Baruch Mordechai have to be equal, because that. It shows our sensitivity to averus. If we can't celebrate the destruction of sinners, that means that the sin doesn't bother us. And that's why we thank Hashem for the gevuros. We thank Hashem v'alah gevuros. We thank Hashem for the gevuros that befall the son of Yisrael. We thank Hashem for the Or HaMa. Well, the Eibshter helping that we should be zeiche to have a Moedah de Gipurim, that we should be zeiche to see the good in everything in our lives, even the gevuros. We shouldn't have any gevuros. And we should be zeiche bekorav to see the nisim and the purkan and the gevuros bevias Mashiach tzedkenu b'mehirah b'yameinu amen.